Let us bow before God in prayer. Let us pray. Holy God, you tell us that we cannot live by bread alone, but only by every word that proceeds from your mouth. And we come before you as those who are grateful, for we have heard your word. We have seen your word in flesh and blood through Jesus Christ. And we believe that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will speak to us, lead us, and guide us every day of our lives until we see you and hear you face to face. Bless us now with such a word that we might find life and through Jesus Christ this day, new life yet again. Amen. About 20 years ago, there were two Presbyterian missionaries by the name of Bruce and Laura Wearty who were serving in the South Pacific. And they encountered an event in their lives which changed their way of thinking. This is how Bruce tells the story. He says, it was Laura with her kindergarten teacher eyes who saw the cardboard box. It was on Elder Ezekiel's porch, and it was from the refrigerator that the school had just bought for the new teachers. Laura and I agreed that it would be just right for the kindergarten. With a couple of pillows inside, it would be perfect for a secret reading place, a little house where kids could curl up in a place just their size. I asked Elder Ezekiel if we could use the box for the kindergarten, and he replied, well, yes, if you need it. We told him about our plans for a reading place, and he nodded and agreed that they sounded good. I then asked him why the box had been on his porch. He answered, I was going to use it to fix the hole in my bedroom wall. There was a moment of silence. We decided to leave the box with Elder Ezekiel and prayed that night for help in setting priorities, in asking before we provide answers, and in remembering that we live on a planet where even a cardboard box can be a valuable resource. Gratitude is not always easy. For a variety of reasons, it's not always easy. Sometimes the onslaught of difficulties and obstacles in life is so pervasive that we just simply don't get around to being grateful. We feel overwhelmed by the circumstances of our lives, and the last thing we think of doing is saying something which expresses gratitude. Sometimes we're just forgetful, or we're thoughtless. We just go on with our lives, as this couple were, and we see things the way we've always seen things. We do things in a normal way, and we just don't see what else is going on in the world around us. We're blinded by one vision, and we can't see another vision. And so often that other vision is where gratitude lies, and life goes on, and for whatever reason, we end up not being particularly grateful. God's ancient people, Israel, often suffered from lack of gratitude for these reasons and perhaps for other reasons. They had been set free from slavery in Egypt. This is around 1,500 years before the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And for that, they should have been grateful. But as they went on their way out of Egypt, out of slavery, out of what was called the house of bondage, and it was hard bondage, they weren't particularly grateful, especially when they came to the Red Sea and they met this enormous obstacle which lay between them and freedom. And not only that, they heard that the Egyptians, their enemies, the armies of Egypt, were pursuing them, and they were catching up to them, and their lives were going to be destroyed, flattened right there and then. They weren't grateful at that moment. They were anxious, and they were angry. They were mad at Moses, and they were mad at God. And even when there was this mighty miracle, and the Red Sea parted, and they were able to cross on dry land to safety on the other side, and their enemies were destroyed, they weren't grateful then either. They said, where are we now? We're in the middle of nowhere. We're in the desert. We've got a long way to go. Where's the food? Where's the McDonald's? Where's there something to drink? There's nothing here. And the promise of the promised land, far off, a dream in the future. So gratitude left them. There was no gratitude in their hearts, and they began moaning and grumbling and complaining. And I suspect if you are like me, you find yourself doing that as well. Sometimes we moan and grumble and complain over things which are trivial, but at the moment they are all-encompassing, all-consuming. We leave our cell phone at home, or we leave our cell phone on at church and it rings. And we're not particularly grateful then, and if we're sitting beside someone and that happens, we may not be grateful either. It's trivial, but it's important. We lose our keys, all the bits and pieces of life that we need for life to work. Something goes wrong, and it usually goes wrong. What is it? Is it the Peter principle? It's one of the principles. It's Murphy's Law. Murphy's Law. It's going to go wrong at the worst of all possible times. And at that moment, we are not particularly grateful. It can be hard work to be grateful at such times, even for those things that are trivial. Then you add to that things in life which are not trivial by any stretch of the imagination. We hear some bad news. Sometimes it's about ourselves, and we say, I can deal with that. Sometimes it's harder to receive bad news about somebody else because we can't do anything about it. Maybe they're off in a different place. They're far from us. Maybe they're close by, but still, we feel powerless and helpless at that moment, and we don't think thankful or grateful thoughts. It's hard. It can be hard for a variety of reasons to be grateful. And it can take all the emotional and mental and spiritual work that we can muster to come up with what may not even seem to be grateful, but words which express some kind of gratitude in such times as these. I suppose if you're like me too, at times like these, your first prayer may not even be a grateful prayer. It may be, Lord, change the circumstances. I wish it were not this way. Now, I'm not a masochist. I'm not looking for difficult circumstances. Just as human beings, that's a normal reaction. And prayer is there as part of our response to those awful circumstances. But the fact of the matter is this, that in the pages of Scripture, when it comes to teaching on gratitude, on thankfulness, Christian gratitude, what we discover is really something which should be a part of our lives, quite independently of whatever circumstances we face. There's story after story in the pages of Scripture which express this point of view. But perhaps the simplest expression of it comes in the writing of the Apostle Paul to the church in Thessalonica. When he says so succinctly, he says to the Christians there, rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Sometimes we scream at God, what is your will for me? I don't know what to do. Well, here is the simplest statement of it that we can find. Rejoice always, but I don't particularly want to do that. Pray constantly. I find it hard to pray. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you and for me in Christ Jesus our Lord. Still not easy. Glorious words. Words we should lay in our hearts, but not easy. And I find at those times when it's not easy, that even when I say thanks or try to be thankful, and I don't think that I'm particularly thankful, I wonder at times if God is pleased with that, or whether he wants that more spontaneous heart which bursts with gratitude. What I want to say today is this, that I think that gratitude is good whether it is spontaneous or not, whether we are among those who just bubble over with gratitude all the time, or whether we struggle to be grateful. And I say this because God's people always struggled to be grateful. There are very few among them who were naturally grateful. They had to work at it. And our story in Joshua is actually a story about God helping his people who often found it hard to be grateful even when they were in a forgetful mood and weren't particularly grateful. God helps those who struggle to be grateful. So here's the story in our scripture reading. The people have left slavery. They've crossed the Red Sea. They've mumbled and groaned in the wilderness and the desert. But they passed through the desert. A whole generation has come and gone. And they have seen the hand of God, even in those tough, tough places, providing for them and caring for them. And God brings them to the edge of the promised land, to the Jordan River. And even there where they meet one more obstacle, stops the flow of the water, and they cross into the promised land in peace. They have seen all of that. It's been hard along the way. There has been very little of it which has evinced some spontaneous gratitude. And they're crossing over, and I hope they're grateful at that moment. But God says, stop. Before you go into the promised land, before you take over in this place where you should be eternally grateful, but I know you're probably not going to be, step back. Just step back. Pick out 12 men from each of the tribes of Israel. Send them back into the river. And from the riverbed, pick up some rocks, not just little pebbles, but ones that you can put on your shoulder, and carry them out of the river and place them on dry ground where you spend the night, and build a monument, a memorial, what we in Scotland would call a cairn. Build a cairn or a memorial so that in days to come, when life may be easy or hard, you will have a sign that will lift you above your present circumstances to remember, in an act of remembrance, which may not be easy, but to remember, to recall what God has done for you. This was an act of God's grace to people who weren't always thankful. Do things, place things in your life which will enable you to be grateful. We all benefit when we're grateful. All kinds of scientific studies show that. God says, do things which will enable you, whether it's spontaneous or not, to give thanks. Thanksgiving Day is, of course, a memorial like that. It's not in space, but it is in time. Set aside like a rock, a stone, which brings us as a nation together. And in a sense, in a busy world, which seems to be getting busier nonstop, calls us to stop. And in a remarkable way, in our nation, which never stops, this is about as close to stopping as we get. And says to us, focus, focus, think beyond the present to those things for which you're grateful, whether you feel like it or not. And in all of our lives, we need those rocks that remind us to be grateful. Part of the life of our church is to bring us into a place where those rocks are evident. There is one above my head. Every time we come to worship, we are lifted up to the cross of Jesus Christ. Whether life has been easy or hard, whether we feel grateful or not, to a rock which says to us that the love of God will never change for us. That what God did at one moment in history, descending into our world, the love shown there, the sacrifice shown that has not changed and never will change. This is a rock that reminds us that even if our lives are like Good Friday, if we're passing through a deep valley, Easter is coming. There is another day which is on its way. This is how God works, and that will never change. So this is a rock for us. The communion table, the bread, the wine are rocks that give us this do in remembrance of me. To people who aren't always naturally grateful. It's wonderful when we are. But God knows our weakness. And he gives to us these things. And he says to us, take them and put them in a place where you and your children will see them. That by hard work, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, you will become a grateful people. These are big rocks, shoulder type rocks. Maybe in our lives too. And if you think about it, you may think of these for you. You can find or you have some other rocks which you hold on to, which enable you to be grateful. I've got a couple of these rocks in my pocket. One of them is a little wooden cross. Maybe some of you have a cross like this. This is a hand cross. It's designed to be held in the hand like this. And I've watched people in hospital especially hold on to crosses like this at times when they have no clue what's happening to them. And finding in that object which is tangible a sense of the presence of God, which gives them power, the ability to smile and to say thank you in the most unlikely moment. Maybe you have a rock like that. got another kind of rock in my pocket, too. Let me see if I can find it. This is just a little card. And you can't see this. This is, by the way, the children's story moment in the sermon. It's a little card. It says on here, resident alien. I don't know how many of you have ever had a card like this. This is black and white. It's a photocopy. It used to be, you might guess, what color was it? Ah, green. Actually, mine was more blue than green, but it's still called a green card. This is a wonderful card. This gave me the right for 20 years before I became a citizen to live in this place. And I'm grateful to God for every step of the journey that led me to this place and to my family, which is more here now than it was there. I'm also grateful because there is on this card a blemish. The word resident is cut in two. And it reminds me of the day I was mowing my yard when my wallet fell out of my pocket underneath the mower and was spat out in all kinds of directions. And I began looking for the bits and pieces that were in my wallet. Everything was cut up except for this card. I cannot imagine what I'd have had to have gone through with the Department of Immigration to get another card explaining what happened to it. But it reminds me of those small mercies in my life. And you have them too, where you say, oh, that moment. Thank you, Lord, for that moment. Symbolic of other moments in which God has helped us. These are two rocks in my life. Maybe there are rocks in your life. Or maybe there are rocks you should find in your life that you can hold on to when you don't feel particularly grateful. Big ones, small ones. And in your spiritual life, work on being grateful. There are times for me, as for you, when we are grateful. It's spontaneous. Nobody has to teach us. Nobody has to force us. But as we grow in our faith day by day, God says to us, if you don't feel particularly grateful, that's okay. But find a rock. Find a rock in your life. And I've placed them in this world, all over the place, which you can hold on to, and which will be like that memorial pile of stones on the other side of the Jordan. For I have led you too, and I will continue to lead you and guide you and provide for you and protect you until you arrive safe at home. I am grateful for a God such as this, and to be called into his church with you in the midst of his people so that we can serve and love this God together. Let us bow before God in prayer. Holy God, look down upon us. Help us use our memories and our minds on this day, but on other days as well, but on this day especially, to think through the ways in which you have led us. Some of those ways are really hard, and it's hard to give thanks. But in the midst of the circumstances you give to us, help us to be more and more a thankful and a grateful people who have known and been loved by you through Jesus Christ. Amen.